It's Ian Pickus. We are back in the congressional corner today with Vermont U.S. Senator Peter Welch. He's a Democrat in office since 2023, and he previously served in the House beginning in 2007. Senator Welch, as we speak, there is a government funding agreement to get past the September 30th deadline and to punt things into December. What's your reaction to that development?
Well, it's good news, bad news. The good news is we're not going to have a shutdown, and that's been something that's been threatened and has gotten to be a routine threat. And my view, we have an obligation without fanfare to keep the lights on in government. So we're doing that, and that's the good news. The bad news is that I'm working in an institution where keeping the lights on is regarded as an accomplishment. The fact is we should have yearly budgets. And in the Senate, there's been bipartisan cooperation between our two leaders in the Senate, Senator Murray, the Democratic chair, and Senator Collins, the Republican vice chair. But there's been a lot of drama in the House. And frankly, I really long for the day to having us pass our budget on time and for the full year. But it is good news. We're going to have a continuing resolution. It'll give us a couple of months to work on a bill that will take us through next year.
So, yeah, let's talk about that for a second, and then I'll ask you about the politics of it. The next deadline would be right before Christmas, December 20th, as I understand it. So that'll be after the election. It'll be a lame duck Congress. Can something more substantial get done at that point, or does the clock have to restart in the new term?
Something more substantial can be done if there'll be continuing work among the appropriators between now and that December date. So it's not like we get back and begin the work. The work will continue until we get back. But the outcome of the election will have a significant impact, because if there's a change, then that'll affect the thinking of each party. So it really is why my strong preference, if we were operating in a much better way, would have been for us to be passing a full year budget as opposed to a continuing resolution. But, you know, this is going to give us the opportunity to make the progress that is available to us.
Okay, so then let me follow up. What has to happen in Washington to get back to the old-fashioned way that you prefer?
I think two things. Number one, there has to be, I think, a renunciation of the tactics that I call the nuclear option. People have been using a threat to shut the government down as a way to try to get their will. That means they don't have to negotiate and compromise. I think that is unacceptable. A second tactic that has been commonly used is the threat of defaulting on America paying its bills. That'd be catastrophic for our country, but it's used as leverage, usually by a minority, mostly in the House, where I served for so many years. And what that has done is break down the capacity and the willingness of the two sides to compromise, as opposed to confront constantly.
So let's jump into some politics now. After all, the election is just a few weeks away. What is your prediction for your party's chances to hold on to the Senate? We know that's some tough sledding.
It's really, really tight. And anybody who tells you they know what the outcome will be is fibbing. You know, basically, our candidates, our incumbents who are running for re-election, are all doing well. In fact, they were running ahead of Biden, and they're still running ahead of Harris. It's very close and tough in Montana, but we also have opportunities potentially in Texas and in Florida. So it's going to be very, very tight. One of the things that's very alarming, and this goes to our campaign finance system, is that these folks that are multimillionaires, billionaires really, can dump millions and millions of dollars in by just writing one check. So now you have crypto people who are putting $40 million in the Ohio race against Senator Brown. You've got a super PAC that's going to put $60 million in the Pennsylvania race on behalf of the Republican, Mr. McCormick. So that, who knows how that's going to affect things. But it's way, way too much money, way too much concentration of power in folks who have the money as opposed to citizens who only have the vote.
You know, you were an early voice and at a time when you were alone, more or less, in calling on President Joe Biden to halt his bid for a second term. And eventually, obviously, a lot more Democrats joined the cause and we had a change in the ticket. Now that you've got a little distance, how do you feel about that moment in your own political career and the decision you made to do something which I'm sure was pretty painful to do?
Well, two things. First of all, it was painful because I have a strong respect for President Biden and what he did. Vermonters really respect and admire President Biden. He got his highest winning percentage in our state of Vermont than any other state in the union. So it was tough. But number two, we saw the debate and we couldn't unsee what we saw. And I think the president made the right decision. As in what I admire about him is, as always, he made his decision, painful as it was, on the basis of how he thought he could best serve. And I do feel good about the fact that he made that decision. And I basically said out loud what a lot of people were saying privately. And it was astonishing, of course, because despite the apprehension many people had, what happens if the president steps aside, in a single day, Vice President Harris, then candidate Harris, raised $125 million, 150,000 volunteers signed up, and all the other potential candidates endorsed her. So, you know, I had been for an open process. It turns out we had an open process. It was just very, very quick. The rank and file spoke. So I'm glad the president made his decision, and I'm extremely impressed with the campaign that the vice president is running.
Have you had a chance to speak with President Biden at all?
I haven't.
What about any Vermont constituents who might have wanted Biden to stay in? I know here at the station, we heard from a lot of people who felt that, you know, they liked him still, and he had a bad night, but they still wanted him to be the candidate.
Well, that's true. And I heard from folks and got back to them and discussed it. But there, that was controversial at the time. But I think what we've seen is, first of all, the only person who could decide to step aside was the president, because he had won the nomination and he had done a very good job. So all of us wanted to respect that. But some of us had the conclusion that if we were going to achieve what his primary goal was, keeping Trump out of office, then the right decision was to make way for the vice president. So I did hear from people who disagreed with me. And that's a situation where I just had to be candid about my point of view and why, and see what happens. But I think it's working out. I think a lot of folks who were skeptical are now so relieved at the energy that we're seeing and the enthusiasm we're seeing on the Democratic side for this campaign. And we all know it's tough, but we've got to keep working to prevail.
Do you think she'll win?
I do. But it'll be tight.
Former Senator, it should be pointed out, Harris says the Senate filibuster should be scrapped. Now that you've been there for a couple of years, do you still agree?
I think we've got to make significant reforms in the filibuster. If you hear some hesitation, you're right, mm-hmm. because I think there's a conflict here. One, it's very important that minority rights be respected in the Senate. But number two, it's very important that the rules of the Senate, which are pretty cumbersome, not be abused by a minority to inflict gridlock and an inability of the Senate to make decisions and for senators to be held accountable on major issues like women's reproductive freedom, like voting rights. So some folks are talking about a talking filibuster. Some are talking about eliminating it altogether. Frankly, I don't know that the votes are there to do that. So my view here is that whether you're a Republican or Democrat in the Senate, you have an obligation to make the Senate as an institution work on behalf of the American people. And if you have a set of rules, including the filibuster, that means you never decide important issues, then I think the time for reform is very much upon us.
I guess if you need the 60-vote threshold to get rid of the filibuster, that could be filibustered.
Well, it's really exasperating for me, but I know it's exasperating for citizens as well. And, you know, when just talking about abortion and what the Supreme Court did in Dobbs is so outrageous that it was the first time I'm aware of where they actually overturned a decision, and the effect of it was to take away from people a constitutional right that women had enjoyed to make their own decisions about their body. That's an appalling decision by the Supreme Court. It's followed by other appalling decisions, like granting immunity to a president for criminal conduct. You know, we have a country that's based on the proposition that no person is above the law. The Supreme Court, in their immunity decision on the Trump case, changed that. That's, in my view, a threat to democracy. So we have a significant problem with the Supreme Court.
Vermont U.S. Senator Peter Welch is a Democrat in his first term after his House career. And Senator Welch, when we come back for our next conversation, let's do a lightning round.
Great.